Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've
Welcome to Hammerlane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
And I'm Mike Drake.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you have experiences you'd like to share with us from the road, like what we're going to hear today, talking with Emilio, we want you to go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerlaneLegends.com webpage. Hit the contact section. Get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. We don't care. Just get a hold of us because we want to have a conversation with you. We love doing this. We love talking to truck drivers. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your stories. Shipper, with all that being said, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Keep us fueled, keep us caffeinated at buymeacoffee.com/HammerLane. Virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing and you feel like you want to contribute, follow simple prompts. We appreciate it.
Fantastic, Shipper. Thank you, sir, for bringing that.
Rolled it right off.
Rolled it right off, and we're right in. We're going to bring this thing right into a fruition. Today, we're talking to Emilio. Emilio, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. By yourself?
We're doing all right. We're doing well. Thanks so much for coming on and having a conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all ours. It really is. So, Emilio, tell us kind of like how you got into the trucking business, how you got into this crazy world that we call trucking, because it's not a 9-to-5er. It's not, you know, it's a different lifestyle. So how did you get into this?
Well, my grandpa was a truck driver his whole life, and my uncles and stuff. So I kind of grew up like being around trucks. I started shifting gears, man, when I was like at least 9 or 10 years old. So, you know, with my uncles and my dad and stuff. And then I came of age that I decided to want to be my career. So I started at, I think, 19 years old. I started driving. And I first started hauling aquaculture, like tomatoes and stuff like that. That's where I got in. At the time, there was a guy, Mike Lowry's Trucking. He would, you know, help you get your license if you worked for him the whole season. So that's how I started doing that. And it's been history ever since, man.
Yeah.
It's been a long run.
How long have you been driving?
I'll be 32 years in December 14th, I believe.
Wow, that's great. Awesome.
32 years. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a long time.
It is a long time.
Have you been on the West Coast the whole time?
Yeah, I've been on the West Coast the whole time, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm saying I'm a local driver.
Okay. So you do like in the LTL business, you know, like what Yellow Freight used to be or SDs?
No, I've never done that. I started my career just ultra culture, like tomatoes and peaches, stuff like that. And then the gravel business, like bottom dumps and transfers and dumps. And I did that. Then I started hauling feed for many years. And then I went back to the gravel business now. So I'm hauling gravel and, you know, I've been an end dump now for a company, a great company I work for now. So,
boy, that's fantastic.
Dude. Yeah. Haul gravel than tomatoes. Gravel doesn't
get it is. But that's hours. The tomatoes is, man, it's long hours.
I can imagine when, you're not trying to make the sauce while you're driving. So, but yeah, I can imagine that's got to be doing the agriculture like that. I mean, it's long days, isn't it? You know,
they're long days. Yeah, we were working back in the day when we could run, you know, extra hours and, you know, when it was paper log, when it was easier to work extra hours, you can't do that anymore now.
Yes.
You know, yes, those extra little hidden log books that you would throw behind the seat or something, you know, and get the extra hours in. But, everything's electric now. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm getting too old for that too. I can't do that anymore. My body can't do that anyways either, you know.
Boy, do we hear
that? I work like 17, 18, 20 hour days sometimes, you know, and it was crazy. But you're young. And you think you're invisible, you know?
Yep.
Which is fine.
Do they have, I'm curious about this. Do they have are there different rules for the agricultural industry as far as hours of service, you know, that you can drive because of the way it is, like when it's harvest time, you know, it's an all day thing. I'm kind of curious.
It's 16 on duty and, I believe it's 14 driving. Or no, 16 on duty, and I think it's, don't quote me, I think it might be 12 driving time.
That's what I was curious, because I mean, I know the days can get really long, you know.
I haven't done that on agriculture in a long time, but I know it was more than just, you could get away with more hours.
That's what I'd heard, is that, and I wasn't sure. I've never really talked to anybody that I can remember it doing the agricultural end of things. And it's a different, you know, every aspect of the trucking industry has its own, you know, kind of uniqueness, you know?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, doing the agricultural part of it is, you know, it's got its own rules, laws, and things like that, that they go by.
Everything's perishable too.
Yeah.
And then you work and your time off, you just get 8 hours off. So 8 hours, you got to be back on the truck again.
Wow.
So you finish your whatever shift you have, 14 hours, 15 hours, whatever, then you park your truck, you have 8 hours to climb back on it. That's what we do. So you'll be working all the time. You lose track of what day it is and time it is and everything else, man.
That's just a young man's game.
Can't
do that anymore.
Yeah, boy, you hit certain ages and man, it's like, those days are over.
You know,
it wears you out, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. It tears you up. I got a bad back now, bad knees, and it just wears you out, man. Too many years of bouncing around in that truck. And the trucks are more comfortable now, but back in the day, they were a little rougher.
Yes, they were.
And like I hear some of these young drivers nowadays that they're complaining. They have an AC truck and nice, comfortable truck, and they always complain that, oh, it's rough. I go, man, you don't know what rough is, man. You know, try that 30 years ago. The trucks were nothing like what you're driving nowadays. So,
yeah, sir.
I want to hear it, man. Right, you guys got it.
No AC.
Yeah.
No AC, no power steering, no air ride in your cab or your seat. Nothing. Exactly. Man. You're sitting like on a, you know, like in a, like a wooden chair or something. It's not wooden, but, you know, no cushion, not that much cushion. Always wore it out.
Yep.
You know, and like, oh, man, you guys got it made, man. You guys wouldn't last not even a day back in my day.
No. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you know, everything is coming out automatic, you know. So.
Yeah. I still refuse to drive an automatic.
It's so weird. You know?
I tried it once. It wasn't for me, man. I can't do it, man.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's like, I don't know what to do with my right hand, man. You know?
It just doesn't feel right. You know? I'm just thinking. It's like,
it doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel. And then they're not as powerful either, man. You know, they're not that strong. And
the shifting is like you don't have control over it. You know what I mean? Like you're used to, you know, wind it out if you need to or whatever. And now it just shifts and it keeps the RPMs really low.
Yeah. That's what I told my wife. She was telling me, because she'll go, like, if I'm going to go to a truck wash my truck or whatever, mm-hmm. I'll take her with me. And I told her, you know, like, you have to, there's something like you feel like you have to be in control of the gears, like your gear you're going to be in. Like I want to be in control of the truck. When I shift, when I downshift, I don't want the computer or whatever is shifting for me, doing it for me. I don't like that. You feel like I'm not, I feel like something's missing. Well, something obviously is missing the gears, but you feel like you have no control of the truck at all.
That's it. You don't have control. Yeah. You know, it's telling you when it's going to shift. And
And then you have you're throwing that right hand up in blank air right there, you know, trying to find the gears. There's nothing there. It just feels weird. I couldn't handle it, so I refuse to drive one of those trucks, man. Like,
yeah, I totally get
it. Takes I can't do it. And not having a shifter it there. Does. Or my biggest thing when we first got in the automatics was backing under a trailer. You know, you let it get underneath there, and then you push in the clutch to take away the power.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't do that in an automatic. You get slammed against the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's man. I know. It's just it's weird. I don't know. It just for me, it just feels so weird. It's like you feel like I'm learning how to drive a truck again. You know, it doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel natural to me.
Totally agree.
And I said, I've been shifting gears since I was like 9 years old with my dad and stuff. So you know, that's second nature to me. So I couldn't do the automatic ones.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's a strange world.
The drive long now, I get irritated when I do have to shift. I'm like, I push the button. Oh, now I got to go 10 gears.
The only time that I'm happy to have the automatic is when I get stuck in an accident scene or you know traffic where you're bumper to bumper and you don't have to clutch.
Yeah.
Because after a while, your legs, you know, at the age we're at, you know, your knees are starting to go. Like you said, your knees are going, your back is going, everything. So it is kind of nice when you're stuck in traffic is having the automatic, because all you're doing is just hitting the brake. But most of the time,
at our age with the manual, you're like, you push the clutch in. How many more times before the knee just pops?
How many more
licks are there to a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? You know,
your hand on your knee to push the clutch down.
To be honest, I had that happen. I blew my knee out driving years ago. I was like 2 years into the industry, and I blew my knee out, and it was my clutch knee. And my first delivery of the day was down below Reading, and I was a pool table place, and my knee popped and I tore the meniscus, and the rest of the day I spent the whole day pushing with my hand on my leg to shift gears
or you learn to drive one foot.
I literally finished out my day. It was a 12-hour day, and I finished it out shifting gears.
So I guess you were in double clutching. You're just floating.
I was just floating as much as I could. But you know, it's funny because then your kids looking at you, your kids are like, "You're badass, Dad." I'm like, "Yeah, you damn straight I am." I spent a whole day with that. And then, that was my exciting story. So back to Emilio. But that's the thing is, it's just that the industry has changed a lot over the years. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes in 32 years you've been doing this.
Oh, yeah. A lot of changes. It's just every day that you have these pencil pushers, man, just making new rules. That guys that, this is what gets me, guys that never been in a truck in their life, doesn't even know nothing about a truck, and they're writing rules trying to teach me how to drive a truck.
You're preaching to the choir.
They didn't even know how to turn a damn truck on.
Especially on the West Coast, you guys are subject to a lot more of the regulations being in California.
Yeah, California is getting really, really bad with that. Every time you turn around, there's a new rule, new law that, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's just making it harder and harder, you know?
Yeah.
So the good thing, I'm getting closer to retirement, so I'll let you guys handle that. You know, I'm out of here, man.
Amen, brother, because that's where we're heading.
I can't wait for that day, man.
I never heard people talk more about retirement than truckers. Yeah. We're counting down the days.
Especially when you've been for a while, you know? It's like,
I do have two expensive daughters, so I'm pretty sure they're going to have me working until I'm 150 years old. You know? They're very expensive.
I heard that. When grandkids come along, my wife has made sure that I'm going to continue to work. You know.
Yeah.
You know, our kids have grown up and out of the house, and now we have grandkids. So every Christmas it's like, how much are you buying? Oh, yeah,
it's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, everything's so expensive nowadays, man. Yeah. California, everything's so, so expensive out here.
Oh, my word.
Everything goes up. The company I work for now, they're pretty good at they gave me decent raises, and I'm happy there where I'm at. And I couldn't be, you know, any happier. I'm thinking I'm in a good spot now. I wish I would have, you know, been at this place years ago. And I would have been all happy. But I'm happy all the jobs. I'm grateful all the jobs that I had. I think I had only, this is my third job, I think, in 32 years.
No kidding. That's great, dude.
Good.
So, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's a good company. And the boss is real quiet. So he's in himself.
And sometimes, you know, if we didn't walk through some of the things that we do walk through, you know, with some of the companies that we've been with, we wouldn't appreciate the ones that we're at now. You know, we'd be
exactly.
You know, this is some of the young guys coming in, and they're working at the same place you are, and you're like, you're happier than anything because the job you have, and these guys complaining and moaning and groaning about it because it doesn't do this and they do that. Well, you should have been where I was, you know, when I was your age 30 years ago. Yeah,
exactly.
You should be then, and then you'd have something to complain about, you know?
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of those guys that complain all the time, man. Like, they have no idea. Like, I wish they could just have a little glimpse of what we went through. And I remember complaining when I was younger. I don't think I complained. I don't remember. Maybe I did, but I don't remember it. Complaining about, and like I said, I look about it now, and like you said, like Shipper said, man, no AC, no power steering, nothing in these trucks, man.
We're happy listening to you. They didn't care.
That's what he said. Probably like working nights because I've been a night driver for at least 25 years of my career. So maybe that's why I like working nights. You roll down those windows down. It was not electric windows. You had to crank those buttons down.
Yes, sir.
and it's cool at night. You know, I mean, you don't have to off the heat because of no AC in the trucks.
Yep.
So you have one of those fans. You remember those stainless steel fans? You turn them on and it blows hot air at you.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, that was our AC back then.
Man.
Yeah, those were our that's our AC back then. You had two fans. I remember they had two of them, and I would put both of them facing my direction.
Yeah,
and that's what you have all day long. That's what blowing hot air at you.
Yep. It's things have gotten so much better. You know, the ACs and all the things that we have, all the modern conveniences that are in these new trucks. It is great. I mean, it's, you know, compared to what we had.
Well, like he said, you know, you take one of those old school from the 70s, you know, tractors and take it up to the Votech there, for them driving truck.
Yeah.
They look at that. No, I'm done. I'm going to learn computers.
I got to drive.
Why are there two stick shifts on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bring them up a duplex or a triplex. Triplex, blow them right off the wall.
And believe it, I drove in those transmissions before, the Browning transmissions. I have a friend that has an old school truck like that, and I helped him out in the summertime a little bit. It was it's a water truck, and it had the Browning transmission with the dew shifters on it. So I learned how to drive those. That was pretty hard. I don't know, those guys back in the day, they had to do that all the time. I don't know, man. That's especially going uphill, downhill. You got to let go of your steering wheel to shift gears. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
steering wheel.
Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's really cool, man. That is
cool. I remember one time I was hauling tomatoes, and I always had a buddy of mine. We always rolled together. We were tricking all the loads on the field sometimes, and we were working nights. And like I said, they sent us to this field. And back then, we didn't have GPS. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have cell phones, so it was all a paper someone drew out how to get to the field or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, there's a branch laying down in the corner right there, take a right there, and then you'll see a aluminum can, you know, a beat up can on the right hand side, you take a left there, you know, something like that. So we went in this field to pick up you had to take a set of doubles, empties in there, and then you pick up the loaded trailers out. And he was ahead of me. We went in the field, and it's all dusty at night. And we went in there just fine, and then we hooked up our trailers at night. And we were heading out. When you head out, there was the inside of the fields, but there was like two fields that split off like a wide, like sort of like a little wide angle like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the correct way out of there was go to the left, and you make it back to the main road, and you go deliver it to the cannery. So I was behind him in the field. He was kicking all that dust up at night. Yeah, it, it was like fog. I couldn't see anything.
Right.
And I knew in my mind I had to take that little left turn somewhere, because like, if you take that right turn, it's a dead end. You can't back up double full of tomatoes. And my luck, guess what I took? I took that right turn, man, because all that dust, and I made it in to a canal.
Uh-huh.
My right hand side was a cornfield. My left hand side was more tomatoes.
Wow.
And I can't back up loaded doubles. And you could back up a little bit, but not, right. You know,
yeah.
So much. So I was stuck. And my boss at the time, he was a good boss, but he was not the guy that, you know, you would have had an earful for that mistake like that.
Right.
So I had to make it out of there. And I always believed it. There's always a way out. There's always a way out somewhere in life and anything. There's always a way out. You all have to find a way out, because the truck's not going to rot there for the rest of his life. It has to come out some way or another.
Yes,
and if someone else could do it, I'm going to do it. So I hooked my trailer up, dropped my trailers and my truck bobtail. And I couldn't go on the left side of the field, because the tomatoes fields, and there was a little irrigation dish. So I couldn't take that. So that cornfield looked pretty nice. So I walked in there and made sure the ground was nice and hard, which it was. So I drove my truck bobtail right through the cornfield.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could see the corn was like 6 feet tall, and I'm just making my own little path through it. And I made it to the other side, and I made it to the side so I could go all the way around. So I came back, hooked up my trailers, hooked it up, went straight to the cornfield again, knocking corns left and right and underneath my truck, and made it out of there, got out of there, left to the counter. The next morning, my boss, we had a wide area, you know, company radios where everybody could hear you talk. My boss was mad. He's like, "Hey man, does somebody drive a truck through that cornfield like that? You know, the customer or the farmer's mad that somebody drove a truck through there." And No. And me and my friends, we made it out of there. We took all the leaves and corns off the truck, washed it, made sure it was good, and then drove it and just get it dusty again. I go, "No, we don't know who it was. It was me." But it was me. I went after that. It goes right to the cornfield, man. And that's when you're young, you know. You're young. You're not really familiar with everything. So I was just learning, man.
Right.
And it's funny to me now. But back then, man, I was like, "Oh, man, he's going to find out." And he never found out until you probably see this and you'll probably know now. But that was like 30 years ago. He's still around. He's still in business. So I'm good friends with his sons. They run the company now for them. But they won't know now. It was me 30 years later. It was me that did that. But that was one of those crazy experiences, you know, that that you live and learn, you know. And now I know that not to do that. But that was pretty fun, though. Now it is
pretty fun. Truck. Yeah, I think it happens to every truck driver. For you, it was a cornfield. For most of us, an alley a one-way road. We can't back up. And
it happens a lot.
Yeah, low bridge.
Yeah, that's what happens a lot. So I did that tomato stuff for. I did it. I worked for him for like five seasons. The good thing that company, he would or the tomatoes we used to work out. He used to send us like maybe like 2 or 3 hours. A different town, and he will rent. You will stay there for the whole season, and he'll rent a motel for you. So it'll be two drivers per motel, and motel room, and you were in there a couple hours a day, and then you had to get up again. So you had a dispatcher that will wake you up and on site there. They'll call your room and wake you up and stop going again. And they had a bar there. And of course, after your shift, go to the bar.
Right.
And we were at the bar, and my phone rang. I mean, the phone in the room rang. And my buddy, he went to sleep, and he calls me up. He goes to the bar. He goes, "Hey, man, dispatcher's on the phone calling you." So I can pick up the phone. Look, what time was that? I don't even know what time it was. He goes, "Hey, man, your 8 hours are up." So I walk stumbling into the office. The dispatcher looks at me. He goes, "Hey, you had too much to drink." I go, "Yeah, but I'm good." He goes, "No, you're not. Go back to your room, man." And from then on, he will make sure you're in your room at a certain time, like a curfew. We couldn't let it out. It's like, because you're young. I wasn't even old enough to drink. I was still like 18 or 20 years old. And I was still getting drunk at the bars. Like, bars, they don't care. there. It was an on-site bar they had there.
Dude, if you're old enough to drive a truck, you're old enough to drink a beer.
Oh, yeah, but back then, like I said, life was a lot easier back then, and you could get away with a lot of things that you can't nowadays. You know, I'm pretty sure I probably jumped on a truck more in the tipsy side than I went sober, but that was back in the day. I wouldn't recommend that. I would never do that again. But, you know, life was a little bit easier back then, you know, and it was fun, you know, driving with your friends, man. It was a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was my good fun years when I was younger. But then I did that for a couple of years. Then I went to work hauling feed.
Okay.
Hauling feed for another company. I worked for 16 years for this company, or maybe a little bit longer, hauling feed to a milk dairies. And it was night shift. And I had a good time doing that too. That's where I have a creepy story about that happened to me at that particular dairy. I would go to these dairies. And I've been to this dairy maybe 1,000 times before. Uh-huh. And like I said, I was a night driver. And I used to drive a transfer. You know, you're familiar with the transfer trucks?
No. Tell us.
Transfer trucks is the ones that... that is, you know, it has that you transfer one box into the other box. You back up, you connect your trailer, okay, and you back up your truck. You empty out your first box in your truck, and then you back up to your second trailer, and then there's some little tracks, little wheels, and then there's hooks on it that holds that trailer box on your back trailer. Mm-hmm. So you release that, and then that box rolls into your other box.
Oh, okay. Like a walking, almost like a walking floor. Like a
walking floor, yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. They're not walking floors. This is, they're, I don't know.
Or the roller.
I don't know what you guys call them. They're just, you probably see them. They used to haul like gravel and stuff with them. And rock.
They have like a conveyor belt underneath the trailer.
No, it's these little tracks, like steel tracks. Okay. And then your box on that on the rear trailer has little wheels. And it has a little battery, so it rolls on the wheels and it goes into the other box, and then you go back and dump that. It's called a transfer truck. I don't know if you guys familiar.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
True. Yeah, transfer. Well, I don't know, maybe you guys call them. They're called transfer trucks.
Okay,
these are them like to haul like gravel or dirt and stuff like that.
Okay,
and I used to drive one. I drove for those for many years. So in order to transfer those box, you dump your first box, come back, and then you back up to your second trailer and those on the tracks, and you roll that second box inside.
Okay.
And the floor has to be leveled, or else the tracks will not be even and won't roll correctly, or it'll fall off the tracks.
Okay.
So there was only in this dairy, there was only one plain spot that I could dump, and it was the only plain spot I could dump. And these dairies are dark. They're dark. There's no lights or nothing out there. It's just completely dark. This is the lights on your truck. So there was this old tree that on my left-hand side, so that was my mark. I knew, okay, well, as long as I park right there, the floor is level. Like I said, I've done it 1,000 times before at night. So it was like around 3 in the morning. I roll up, and I noticed something I didn't notice before. I noticed the milk barn, the lights were on, where the milker milks the cows.
Uh-huh.
And I knew they had a day milker, but some dairies have two milkers a night and a day. But that particular dairy only had a day milker. So that was kind of odd, but I didn't think nothing of it. And so I get off to go and connect my trailers, you know, take the hoses off and disconnect it. So you're down on your knees trying to do that. And I heard these footsteps coming towards me in the gravel there. Mm-hmm. And it was this older gentleman. And I didn't see his face or anything, but I heard his voice, you know, and he was right there to me. He goes, oh, hi. He spoke to me in Spanish. He goes, hey, young man, you know, how's your night going? Whatever, you know, small talk. And right. I was busy. I didn't want to spend too much time talking to him. So I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, good. How about yourself? He goes, oh, okay. He's good. And you could tell he wanted to talk too much, but I didn't have time for that. And I'm like, he's told me, oh, you know, 2 weeks ago, they found this this guy dead right here leaning on the tree. I guess he had chest pains and he sat down next to the tree and he died of a heart attack.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, that's too bad, man. But I didn't think nothing of it. So. I said, well, that's too bad. So I just want to dump my load. So I dumped my load, did my thing. And then he walks away and that was it, you know.
Right.
Oh, he told me he was the milker and that he was working, milking the cows at night. And he was just going to take his lunch break. That he lived on the property. I'm like, okay. So he left. So I dumped my load, got my load back, and I left. So a week later, I go back to that same dairy a little bit earlier, like around like 10 o'clock at night. And I get there, and then I came across the young man that I knew that was the day milker. He was walking around there with his dog or something. And then he said hi to me, and I told him, hey, man, you know, I heard I was talking to the night milker. He was telling me that somebody passed away on the street right here. And he says, no. Like, no, that didn't happen. And I said, well, he said like 2 weeks ago, somebody died here. There was a night milker. He goes, I'm the only milker in this dairy, you know, and I'm a day milker. There's no night milkers. I'm like, okay, that's kind of odd. And then he had this blank look in his face, like he was thinking of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells me, well, he goes, something just, you know, dawned on me. I go, what's up? He goes, well, I haven't been here that many years, but the story here goes that people have talked about that 20 years ago, there was a night milker, an older gentleman, that did have a heart attack on this tree, and they found him in the morning. And he was going to take his lunch break, and he felt chest pains, sat on the tree, died there, and they found him in the morning.
Wow.
He goes, but that was not 2 weeks ago. That was 20 years ago. So
strange.
Wow.
So who did I talk to that night?
Exactly.
You know? You know, I don't know. And like I said, I've been out to that dairy a thousand times before. And I knew kind of pretty much everybody that worked there.
Right.
And I never seen that man before. And I knew there was only one milker, and he was a young guy during the day.
Right.
And I knew there was no milk. But that particular night, the milk dairy was open, the light on, where they milked the cows. And that was the story. Yeah, and he told me that old man told me that. So I don't know if it was his ghost 20 years later still working, you know?
Kind of hanging around.
And that was one of the weirdest things, man. Then since then, I'll try to avoid going to that dairy at night. I'll try to make it my first load of the day afternoon and get out of there, man. Like, I was just too creepy for me, you know? And
that's crazy, man.
Yeah, then one of my buddies went to that same dairy.
Uh-huh.
And he said that there was an old barn back there where they keep the food for the cows and stuff.
Right.
But there's no front door, you know, in that, you know, the rolled doors, the barn doors, it was missing. It was an old barn.
Okay.
So he went in there with his high beams on, and he saw this little girl walk from inside the barn, like from one side to the other side and through inside the barn, wearing a yellow dress. She's like maybe like 8 or 9 years old, a yellow dress. It's like you can see her face, and he had the high beams on her, and he kind of thought, well, probably she's out here with her dad. He's probably working late at night or whatever. And he asked around, and he had his high beams out there waiting for that little girl and her dad to come out. They never came out. So he went through with a fast light or whatever. There was nobody out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked before if in the property they lived there, if any families that had little kids. And they're like, no kids live there. There's only like 4 men that work there. There was no kids there. And he saw that little girl out there. He couldn't explain it either. Like, it was that same dairy I saw that man at.
Same dairy.
Yeah, same dairy.
You know, one of the things I'm sitting here thinking, as you're telling this story about this old milker, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I want to be able to retire and not wind up at repeating the rest of my life.
Yeah.
All of eternity, I'm just sitting here at Pitt, Ohio.
In 50 years, Brian's be walking across the parking lot.
At Pitt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want that to be my life. You know, my eternity. You know.
Oh, man. That happened like to me like 15, 16 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I still think about it all the time.
Oh, I bet.
And I'm like, poor man, his life is just, he's repeating the same cycle over and over, You know, how many times have you repeated that, you know?
Yeah, he's interacting with whoever shows up, who's ever there. Yeah. You know, wow.
Yeah. Maybe, and I do think about it a lot, and I have prayed for him too, you know, to see if he could find peace and, you know, go rest, you know? Mm-hmm. But I still think about it a lot, you know? It's just like, poor guy, man, he's just working hard, and you know, he died of a heart attack, and he's just repeating the same cycle.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how many times.
Yeah, and he's walking around freaking out the truck drivers.
Yeah, it's scary. Definitely scared me.
Yeah, really.
There was nothing at the time. There was nothing scary about him.
Right.
And like a week later, when I found out, I was scared. But
that's it.
And the thing that I feel kind of bad too, because he felt like, I felt like he wanted to talk. Like he was, maybe he needed somebody to talk to or something. And right. I kind of like cut him short a little bit because I was in a hurry. I wanted to get my job done.
You're in a hurry. You were young.
Yeah, I was young. I didn't want to talk to an old guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
At that time. So I just wanted to do my thing. Now I feel bad. I go, maybe he's like lonely and needed somebody to talk to, man. Like, or say something, you know? And like, he was not a threat. I didn't feel threatened or nothing like that. And I go, man, maybe he just needed, you know, somebody to talk to, man. And I kind of feel bad that I didn't give him enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know he was like a ghost or nothing like that. Well, maybe it was so bad. But if I would have known, I could have been there for him to talk to him a little bit. Maybe that would have made him go rest or something earlier. You know, like, I don't know. I think about it a lot. Like,
sure.
I think about it a lot. Like, you know, who, in our souls, man. Like, I don't know. It's repeating the same thing. Like, I don't mind if I want to repeat the same thing after death, man. It better not be truck driving. Or
it'll
be something else, you know?
Or look at the flip side of this, you know, that's something he loved to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? And you were fortunate that you actually saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, and that was a creepy situation that, like,
very.
Hey, truckers, ever find yourself miles from home and running low on your daily meds? Don't worry, we've got your back. Meet Refill Genie, the telehealth service designed just for folks like us who are always on the move. Whether you're crossing state lines or hauling coast to coast, Refill Genie connects you with a licensed doctor to refill your existing prescriptions hassle-free. No more detours or long waits at the clinic. Just hop online and get your meds and keep on trucking. Use code HLL for a 15% off your order. So head over to refillgenie.com and keep your health in gear wherever the road takes you.
They told me a week later about that, man, I felt my hair back in my head just
right.
Stand up.
Right. That's like the fork in the road right there. Did you go left or do you go right?
Yeah. I took the wrong turn, man. But
right.
I got that truck out of there finally. But yeah, so Mike, if you're listening, man, it was me 30 years ago. I did that. I probably don't remember weird. That was a long time. That was weird. So that was one of my creepiest things now, you know. I did that for many years, and now I'm back to the gravel business, and I'm hauling gravel and dirt and broken concrete and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And I'm happy where I'm at now, and I'm having a great time.
And no ghosts involved.
Now I have a nice truck and nice comfortable truck and
nice.
Yeah, I'm good now. You know? Oh yeah, I'm a lot of fun there. You know, it's a good company I work for now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. You know, that's the beauty about being in this industry for any length of time. You find, you know, your spot. You find a place where you feel happy and you're contented and you're, you know, you feel like you're doing all right. You know, like,
And I help the young drivers out a little bit as much as I can. You know, I just want the first stop. You're complaining, and I'll teach you whatever you need to learn. But the complaining part, that needs to go, man. It's not gonna make your job easier, man. You're just gonna. And I go, you got good trucks, and there's no reason to complain.
Yeah.
You know, to this 30 years ago, man, that was complaining time, and I didn't complain back then. And I was happy truck driving.
Yep.
You know, up here in California, truck drivers pay pretty good, so you know we make really good money out here doing what we do, there's no reason to complain. You could go see these guys in the fields, working in the fields, or picking heavy boxes all day long. I go, man, we're not doing none of that. So
that's some serious
complaining anymore.
Yeah,
that's some serious work right now. I can't do that now anymore.
Nope,
I'm getting too old for that. I could barely climb in and out of the truck without being back hurting. You know? Yeah, man.
Yeah, but, man, I heard that.
Yeah, I had another story from there that I was telling you from the company I work for now. Like I said, I'll bring my truck home, and the truck yard is like 25 minutes away from my house. Uh-huh. But I'll take the truck home and I'll leave early in the morning and stop by the yard and fuel up. And our yard has has one gate. You could come in and out of it, you know, and everybody has their own code. So you could come in and out.
Yeah.
So they keep track who goes in and out of the yard. And so if you go in there and the gate's open, that means somebody already got there before you and you leave the gate open. And I got there and the gate was closed. So I knew I was the only one in there, or I was the first one in there for that morning. And people start showing up maybe like around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning because I had to go do a run down at the bay. And it was a couple hours, like 2 hours away. And so I get the gate was locked. And our yard is dark, too. There's only one light by the fuel island. So the way you go in the yard, you go in there, you open the gate, you come in there, you have the office and the shop on your left-hand side. And then you have a bunch of trucks on your right-hand side, and then you have the fuel island in the middle. And so you drive in, you pull over to the right a little bit, and you jump on the fuel island. So that's what I did. So any trucks leaving there or coming in, they're going to pass right by me. I have to see them.
Right.
So I get off, and I fuel up, put my DEF on it, put my diesel, you know, I'm fueling up. And done that. And I jump back in my truck and I go, well, I'm start my paperwork. You know, I'm still early, so I'm starting my paperwork for the day. So I'm sitting there, and then I heard one of my coworkers called me on the CB. And he goes, hey, because everybody calls me Coyote. That's my CB handle, Coyote. So everybody calls me, hey, Coyote, man, what are you doing here so early? And I said, well, I just came to get some fuel, and I'm going to the bay right now. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, I'm going close. I'm going the same direction you're going, but not that far. He goes, so we'll go together. I'm like, okay. He goes, right. He goes, I'm warming up my truck right now, so I'll be there like in 5 minutes. Okay. So I sat there. 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes went by. He didn't show up. So I called him the CB. I go, where you at, man? In the way it is, that shop, like I said, the shop's on the left. Behind that shop, that's where we parked our trucks, our transfers and end dumps.
Okay.
And on the right-hand side, we had all the bottom dumps. So he had to come from around the shop this way, and there's only one way out here crossing me. And he never showed up. So I called him again. I go, hey, man, where you at? Nothing. Quiet. So I wait another 5 minutes. And I go, man, I better go check on this guy, see if nothing happened to him back there or fell or something. I'm going to go drive back there. So I jumped, turned my truck, and I went behind the shop. And I'm looking at his truck now. And his truck's lights are off. Everything's off. His personal car's not there. Nobody's there.
Wow.
And his truck's there. And the yard is dark. So I get back there, and I had my high beams looking straight at his truck. And so I couldn't see nothing. So I get off of the flashlight. I look between the trucks. Nothing. I touched the hood of his truck, and it was cold still. I'm like, well, he hasn't been here. So I'm like, I wonder what happened. So I call, grab the cell phone, and I called him. It was like, at this time, it was already like 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I call him, and he answers like he just woke up. And I said, hey, man, where you at, man? He goes, I'm home. I go, no, man, you're not home. I go, I just talked to you like 15 minutes ago on the CB radio. Where you at, dude? Let's go. He goes, no, I'm home. I thought he was joking with me. Until I heard his wife yelling at me, like, who's calling you this early in the morning? you know, a typical wife calling me, like, who's calling you this early in the morning? And then I knew that he was at home laying down with his wife.
Wow.
And he lives like 20 minutes away. So who did I speak to in that, right, on that TV?
That's a great
story. You're questioning yourself. Did I hear that in my own head?
And it was loud. I don't know if you guys are familiar with CBs, but on CB, you could tell how far the guy's from you or how close from you when they talk, right? And he was loud and clear. So, like, he was close to me. Like, he was there somewhere in the yard. Like, you could tell the CB was that loud. So I went up there, and it wasn't him. And it was him because he called me by my nickname, and I called him by his name. I called him by his nickname, Tobis. So I called him by his name, and we had like a 2-3 minute conversation back and forth. And it was him, all right.
But
he was not there. He was at home sleeping. And who did I talk to that day? I don't know.
I
noticed when I jumped back in my truck, after I was on my truck, and I called him, and I'm sitting there staring at his truck, kind of confused. I'm this is weird, man. Like, I'm trying to find an explanation. Like, mine's trying to find, like, is he joking me? But how can he, like I had trying to find an explanation.
Sure.
What happened. And from that point, I didn't see nothing. Like, I was staring at his truck, my high beams around. I didn't see nothing there or nothing. But I had that weird gut feeling. Like, there was somebody sitting in his seat laughing at me. Like, wow. like a prankster. Like, I got you.
Right.
You know, I got you. You know, I tricked you. And I kind of felt that feeling. And that yard, you have to drive slow in that yard and stuff, man. Man, I drive a super 10-speed truck. Man, I needed more extra gears to pump on that bad boy to get out of there. Man, by the time I left that yard, by the time to the front gate, man, I was in every damn gear trying to get out of there. I flew out like a bat out of hell, man.
Wow.
I never felt so. I'm like, man, this guy's going to be sitting right next to me or something. I don't know. Nothing ever happened. Actually, nothing happened after that. But it's just that, you know, that fearness just, you know, sure. Like, it's creepy. And, yeah, man, I think I left that yard like these 50 miles an hour. You got to drive like 5 miles an hour in there. I got out of Dodge, man. Like, that was one of the creepiest things. So now I never go in there that early. And if I do,
I wouldn't either. No more.
If I do, my CB is off. I turn that bad boy off.
Yeah.
I turn it off, man.
Well, you know what they say, things happen in threes. So that's two guys you talk to.
One more.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I seen some other crazy stuff, like little things in there, like in my lifetime. But I think like that creepy stuff like that, like I knew that was creepy. Those are probably the biggest ones that the creepy stuff. That I heard. I mean, we used to haul tomatoes, going back and hauling tomatoes. I never seen nothing there, but there's this a famous place where a bunch of truck drivers, season after season, they would say they would see a little boy walk in the middle of nowhere. Or sometimes they'll see a little boy, or sometimes they'll see a lady, or sometimes they'll see them together. And it happened to truck drivers that didn't know the story, and guys that knew the story, they would go out there, they wouldn't see anything. Like, right. I went out there a couple of times to pick up a load of tomatoes on the middle of nowhere, and I never saw nothing or heard anything.
Right.
But all these new guys, like these rookie guys that would go in there, and they would say they would see this little boy or walking or a lady walking. Mm-hmm. And, the dispatcher, he knew about that. So, you know, they said that'd been happening for years. And they never knew who it, you know, was or whatever. And there was one case I still remember. I was talking to my wife about it the other day. There was this new guy that he goes to get a load of tomatoes. And the roads are narrow over there, you know, on the country. They're kind of narrow.
Sure.
And he calls on that company radio to dispatch. He says, hey, man. It's late at night. He goes, hey, man, you know, there's this little boy in the middle of this road. He won't let me pass. And, you know, I need you to call the sheriffs or something, because we didn't have cell phones back then. So call, you know, the sheriffs or something, because there's no houses nearby or anything. I don't know what this little kid's doing out here. And they're like, and the dispatcher's like, hey, man, just don't worry about it. Just go around them. Go around them, man. He won't do anything. Well, what do you mean? I can't leave a little kid out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, call the sheriffs or something. And the dispatcher would need the story that this, you know, little kid appears to truck drivers all the time for years.
Wow.
And he's like, man, just go around them, leave it alone. I'll call somebody right now, but you just go do your job. Just leave him alone. And he's saying this through the radio. We're all listening. And now that we know the story, we knew what's going on. And to the finally where he wouldn't let it go. And the dispatcher kind of irritated. And he says, hey, man, I don't want to tell you what's going on, but just go around them. Or if they doesn't want to move, just keep on creeping your truck forward. He'll eventually move on his own. Oh, I can't do that. I'm going to run over this kid, man. He goes, no, you're not. You're not going to hurt that kid. Just keep on trucking. Well, they went back and forth like that. Until finally the dispatcher says, you know what, man? I don't want to tell you this, man, but you don't leave me a choice, man. What you're seeing there is not a live kid. That's a ghost. And we see it every year. So keep on going. And we're at 3 hours away in these jobs, where we're hauling tomatoes, 3 hours away from our hometown. That guy loaded with tomatoes, left that place, got around the kid. I don't know what he did. He left there and he drove those 3 hours to our yard, our hometown yard, parked the truck, loaded tomatoes, and quit. He didn't even bother taking that load to the cannery. He just went straight to the yard, took the whole load there. 3 hours away. Didn't even go to the counter and dump that load off. He was that scared. And and a lot of people have seen it. And like I said, truck drivers, if we knew about it, if we go out there, you wouldn't see it. Like, I went there like 2-3 times with other friends, you know, obviously, and we never saw anything. But it only happened to guys that didn't know the story.
Isn't that what happened to them?
And it was weird. Wow. Yeah. I don't know how that happens. And I talked to some other friend, like 2 years ago, and they're saying it still happens to this day.
Wow. When the health
was out there. So if you knew about it, it didn't happen to you. It sounds like the ghost wants to play tricks on people. Oh, these guys.
Yeah.
I want to get the newbie.
Yep.
It's the new guys. Like, the guys that don't know the story, they see it. Or they see the boy or the lady. But guys, the new story, you would never see it.
Isn't that crazy?
That is creepy. Like, how would they know if you know or not? I don't know if it's the energy or what. It's creepy, man. And the stuff like that does exist, man. And I think we did the research on it. And there was an accident where... I guess the mom and the kid got hit by a semi truck and passed away, you know, like 40 years ago or something like that. So they're still out there, man. That is kind of sad though. But that little boy likes to play tricks on the drivers. He does little things like that. Like there's other cases where the guy's hooking up his trailer at nighttime and they'll see the little kid running around the trailer. And there's no homes, nothing out there. And then by the time they go through the flashlight, they're gone. But they can see the corner of their eye, like,
wow,
just running around the trailers, and that's it. And always playing tricks on truck drivers out there.
Wow. How do you keep hooking up when you see that? How do you?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't. I just
it's weird. Like, you know, There's a guy. He said he ran around the trailer because he said, well, a glimpse. Like, there you go. He didn't know about the story either. So
he saw
a little kid, and he will run. He saw a little kid, so he will run around the trailer trying to catch this kid.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter how fast he run, he could never catch up to it. And it just always the corner of his eyes.
Isn't that crazy? The
it was crazy. It's the stories like that from truck drivers.
Or dropping hook.
Dropping hook, man. That's why I drop an end up. I don't have to drop and hook nothing anymore. I just say, you know, I don't hook trailers anymore, man. That's my old days. Things like that, man. It's basically like all in the fields. Uh-huh. There's just the middle of nowhere. The field is history back there. You didn't even know what's happened there before. And middle of the night, like I said, I was a night driver for many years. So I worked. You're middle of the dark in the field. There's no lights, nothing out there. And it's pitch black. And you see things that we're not meant to see, man. But there's creepy stuff, man.
Yep.
And I'm glad I don't work nights anymore after that, man. I'm getting too old. We have a heart attack now. I can't be 40 get scared like that anymore. Now the commuters now scare me the most now, man. The way you drive. Yeah, man. It's just like, it's crazy. That's why I hear you guys' show all the time. You guys crack me up because everything you guys say, you guys go through at night and all this traffic and these dumb people on the road. And I'm like, oh, man, it's like that everywhere, I guess. I thought it was just California.
I was just going to
ask. Coast to coast, idiots.
Yes, it is.
The only difference between the East Coast and West Coast is West Coast has 6 to 8 lanes of everybody together.
Yeah. Up here where I live, they made it was a 4-lane highway. They made it 2 more lanes, 6 lanes now.
Right.
Wow.
And we're like, oh, okay, good, 6 more lanes.
Yeah.
Traffic would be now. Nah, it's like you said. Now there's 6 lanes of traffic now. It's still packed. You know, you still can't get
parking lot. Right.
Fantastic.
Oh yeah, man. It's crazy out here, man. It's like, I don't know where all these cars come from.
Yeah, and I have a friend of mine that flew out to LAX to go to the Peterson
Automotive Museum
out there. And then he flew over or drove over to Vegas and over there. And he says, if you get out on the road early enough, there's no traffic. But he said, you know, he'd done something, got out of the Peterson thing or whatever. And he said, it took him literally 25 minutes to go like 2 miles. He said, it was nothing but traffic.
What? And
it just slapped.
Like, that's the way it is now. And it's like that all day long. Like, don't people have jobs or don't people go to sleep or anything? Like, I don't know where they try. It's always, it reminds me that you guys ever seen that movie with Jim Carrey? What was that movie called? I can't remember right now. I can't remember. It was a movie with Jim Carrey where he lives in a world where that he's the only one that doesn't live in that world. He's the only one that doesn't know.
The Truman Show.
You know how they when he started finding out, then he'll go and see all this traffic around him. I'm like, are people doing that to me out here or what? Because everywhere I go, I'm just surrounded by cars.
Sometimes it does feel like
traffic you're being everywhere I go. And well, it feels that way out here. It just doesn't matter what road you take or what shortcut you take or what route you take. It seems like it's just packed of cars everywhere you go.
But what he was telling me was, and this is the difference between West Coast and East Coast, even the motorcycles are trying to get through. They actually get off their bikes and walk them, you know, in between the cars.
Really?
You know, here on the East Coast, they just fly right up the zipper. Yeah. If they hit a mirror, they hit a mirror.
They do that here too. Well, motorcycles have to do that. They have to go through the lanes because they don't have a fan. They don't have a cooling fan in their
motorcycle.
So they overheat.
California lanes.
So they overheat. So they have to keep on moving to get that airflow and to keep the engine cool. Motorcycles will overheat, so they don't have an engine fan.
I'm thinking to myself, that this poor guy coming up on a bike, and we get somebody that decides he's going to change lanes. That's not going to be too good.
No. And up here, everything is crazy, man. There's no room. It's too much traffic out here, and the guys fly by, and some guys, like you said, they have to even walk their bikes, man. It's just so. they'll take exit or something. It's all packed.
That blew my mind. Walk their bikes.
That's crazy.
And then nowadays, when I'm going to shift lanes or something, I don't even put my signal light because my turn signal. Because it seems like every time I put your signal to switch lanes, it's like a green light for them to speed up.
All of a sudden, that's New Jersey.
You want to get over? Okay, let me get in your way now. They just.
They'll sit behind you for miles and miles and miles. The minute you put your turn signal on, now they want to ride right next to you.
Yeah, they're right next to you.
Upstate New York and Connecticut, they do that.
Yeah, so sometimes I just don't even put your signal light. Just screw it right over, man, because if you put that signal light over, in a couple seconds, they're going to be right there.
Yeah. Do what they do. Wait till you're halfway through the turn, then put the turn signal on.
And then, when it gets you, they're behind you, they speed up around you, go around you and doing everything, and then they get in front of you, then they slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get off the very next exit there.
Yeah, it's got the very next exit, exactly. These guys are, it's crazy, man. It's like that everywhere, man. And it's getting worse, I think.
Yeah.
It's getting way worse. It's getting really worse, man. It's like, but that's when I'm getting closer to retirement, so I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Right.
A couple more years and I'm be done with it.
I was gonna say, how close are you? Just a few years now?
I'm 50. I'm gonna be, well, I got more than a couple of years, but I'm gonna be 52.
Okay.
In 2 days.
You're a youngster.
Okay, well, happy birthday a day or two early, dude.
Thank you. I don't want to say the date. Nobody will know
because we don't give the date for the show, so
So I don't want to put a time frame on that on your show because I listen to your show a lot, so I don't want your son to be get upset over that. You know what I mean? So you can tell how I'm a good listener of your show. Yeah, I don't want Jack to be upset over putting a time frame on your episode. So,
just leave it at 2 days.
I'll be 52 in 2 days or 3 days on the.
That's really.
You know, cool. I don't want to give a date or a month. You know, because I don't want to go in that for him. But you know.
Happy birthday a couple of days early. That's great.
Yeah, I'll be 52 in a couple of days. So
yeah.
That'll be good. A year closer to retirement. Until they moved, before it was like 62, then they moved to 65. By the time I'm 67, man, it's crazy.
It is, and it just keeps moving further away, and you're just like,
There we go.
I say the government doesn't move the goalpost. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's just you're building up that 401k so that you can just plan your own exit strategy.
Oh, yeah.
For the government to say it's okay.
By the time you retire, it'll be a 101k.
If you're lucky.
But you guys are pretty young too. You guys are in your 50s, right?
Yeah, they are. He just hit 60. Shipper just hit 60.
Shipper, man, you guys are great, man. I love you guys so much. Like, Man, you just
appreciate it. Because there's
you probably look at me sometimes. You look like I'm crazy driving down the road, but I'm just laughing. I think you're Tony. Tony
don't like my humor.
Well, we really do.
I love your humor, man. Don't change it. Keep it up, man. That's what makes the show interesting, man. Because both of you guys combined, it just makes the show just. You guys just click so well together on your show. You guys, the balance is out so well. I don't know. I like it.
I used to tell them before I was on the show a lot. I used to say,
I got a lot of my friends
around shooting the crap.
Yeah. I got a lot of my friends hooked to you guys' show now.
Hey, good.
You got to listen to these guys, man.
We need more. Yeah.
We brought in Johnny Kilowatt here because he drives a Tesla for those California people.
Yeah. My neighbor has a Tesla. I see those cars. Those are nice cars, man.
Yeah, very nice.
Out in California, you must see them everywhere.
They're everywhere out here. Everyone
had a charging station out there.
Oh, yeah. Those things are everywhere.
It's the rolling brown house. Right. You know?
Do I go to the grocery with the car, or do I keep the air conditioning on in the house?
Yeah. But they're everywhere. I was talking to somebody that lives in Texas. One of my buddies in Texas. He was talking about this, the Tesla, one of those Tesla trucks, whatever they call it.
The cyber garbage can.
The cyber trucks. They're like, oh, yeah, they're really rare. And I'm like, you see those? Like, they're everywhere over here.
Yeah.
Those trucks are everywhere. They're not rare here. You see them everywhere out here. And they're not rare. I don't know why it is California. There's Teslas. They're everywhere over here.
You guys get a lot of incentives over there to go electric.
Yeah, California.
They do.
Yeah.
The company I work for, they have a lot of trucks. My truck's a diesel, but they have a lot of trucks that are LNG.
Uh-huh.
Trucks, yep. And they get incentive where if you have like at least like 70% of your fleet are LNG, they could haul like instead of 80,000 pounds, we have an 80,000 pound limit, you know, here in California, and you could haul 82,000 pounds.
Right, because you got to account for the gas.
EVs are like that too. They give you another couple thousand pounds.
So you know if they're getting paid by tonnage, and that's where, right. You know, money adds up.
Yeah.
But those, I drove with those trucks before too. Those trucks, man, they're gutless, man. They don't move at all. They are slow.
Them a giant forklift.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much they are. They look nice, but man, they don't have no power at all.
They're no quiet power at all. Too. If you ever hear them idling next to you, they're like, they don't really have that.
Yeah, they're quiet.
People clatter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're very, very quiet. They're very quiet and they're just slow, man. It's like I go, just keep a diesel around for me until another couple of years until I retire, and that's all I want.
That's it.
I want to shift gears and I want to smell that diesel every day.
Well, out there in California, what do they have with the mandate with the diesel? Because you have to be. Don't you have to have that goofy sticker on the side of your truck that says certified zero emission or something?
You got to have that. You run your DEF, different, whatever they call that, the DEF, the extra, you put it in your truck, and they have a sticker, you got to wear all that. They're trying to get rid of all the diesels out here as well,
right?
Eventually, but.
Because that's the problem. These East Coast guys won't go out west because they can't get into California with their older trucks.
Yeah, they can't because they're trying to get rid of that diesel stuff. But the diesel, I think if they get rid of it, it's a big mistake, man. They're hardly going to have these big old heavy loads. Diesels is just, man, it's a working truck, man. I don't know.
It is.
These other trucks, man, I don't know. Like, it feels like you're not driving a truck, you know, if you're LNG trucks or manual trucks.
Right.
It just doesn't seem right, man. I like this.
The EV trucks have the power, but they just don't have the range yet. There's just nothing but diesel is the only way to go to pull any
diesel. Diesel is the only way to go. I think that's the only thing that gets the job done, man.
Right.
You know,
what blew my mind was back when, what was it, like a month ago, they were having the port strike going on where they had the piers shut down. Mm-hmm. And they were shipping everybody out to California, you know, empty off and, you know, and all your peers out there.
Yeah.
Thinking to myself, they can empty the boats, but unless you have the certified trucks to drive into California,
your
containers are just going to still stack up over here in California.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over to Arizona and drop off there.
You know, there you are shuttling them out of California, and then anybody can pick them up.
Yeah. As I told you, it's these pencil pushers, man. These young guys that in office or wherever they're doing, riding these new dolls and everything that they don't know nothing about a truck, never been on a truck in their lives.
Yep. And amen.
And they're making all the rules and everything for us. They're making everything so hard. They're so hard. And you probably throw them in a truck, they probably don't know how to turn it on. Mm-hmm. You know? But they're experts on telling you how to do your job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. And what's the correct way or the safe way? Like, you don't know what safe way is, but sometimes they make the jobs even harder, more dangerous.
They do.
You know? You have everybody going 80, 90 miles an hour on the freeway and you got to do 55. You know, mm-hmm. you're slowing traffic down and you could cross a traffic jam, or if you go too slow, man, someone's doing 80 behind you, they switch lanes and you're right there, they're going to plow around into you.
That's right.
You know? Like in Nevada, you could go the speed limit. You know what I mean? If the speed limit's posted at 65, you can go 65 or 70. Mm-hmm. California, it doesn't matter what's posted, you can only do 55.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like Ohio.
Really?
Oh, my God. That's awful.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
California as a truck driver. Yeah. I'll retire. Yeah,
California is 55, but, we don't,
No.
I mean, you're talking about that.
I think a safe zone for me, I'll stay, 61, 62, uh-huh. and I'm okay. Like, cops won't really mess with you there. Anything above that, then they'll start harassing you, but... Yeah, I used to see 61, 62, and then I don't know, knock on wood, they haven't been bothered yet.
Right.
But it's 55, man, and it's crazy. It's just, you have cars that just pass me by at
that's if you 8, 9 miles an hour out there.
Right.
Yeah? If you're not sitting in traffic.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's
true. Well, you're sitting in traffic. There's some freeways, this open space, but pretty much in the town areas, you're just trucking traffic. You can't get away or nothing. In city limits, the city limits is just crazy. You can't move anywhere.
Right.
But who created that law, 55 miles an hour? Nevada, when I go to Nevada, next state over to us, like I said, you could go the speed limit there. And and the traffic just moves so smooth. Yep. And here in California,
you literally become an obstacle on the road.
Yeah, you do.
For everybody,
there's a guy passing lanes or whatever, and like I said, he's doing 80 miles an hour, and he switched lanes, and you're there at 55.
Yeah,
he's going to run into you.
Yep.
Yeah, and in California is too. It's just a matter if they run into you. It's always the trucker's fault.
That's like that.
Always the trucker's fault.
It is.
Yeah, you're trying to follow. Yeah. You should have stayed home.
You were supposed to anticipate what he was thinking before you left.
Yes, you're supposed to know ahead of time.
It's your fault.
You got your fault, ball inside your truck with you,
Right.
So you can shake and see what it says. Unscrew the
Road Ranger gear shifter and put your 8-ball on
there.
There
you go.
Bang a gear. It's not likely.
there was this lady that ran into me it was maybe, 10 years ago or something like that. She ran into the back of my truck. Nothing happened to my truck. She hit my tires and destroyed her whole front end of her car. And I just had a little paint scuff on my tire. That's it. Nothing happened to my truck. So I pulled over and she pulled over. She was driving too fast. So then the highway patrol comes over and everything. And she's getting off at her neck, her back. She's doing all this movement that she's, she thinks she probably seen dollar signs, her back, this obviously was hurting. She couldn't move. You need an ambulance? Well, I might need so, whatever. And then the police officer told her, well, this is your fault, because you're traveling too close.
Yeah.
And if you were to stay your distance, you wouldn't have hit him. That was the magic words for her pain. Her pain was gone. Right. Nothing hurt after that. She didn't complain or nothing. Walked straight ahead. Nothing complained.
Yeah.
And she was trying to get a free paycheck there, something. But,
yes.
Hey.
Sad but true.
Close. Yeah, it's true. And her car was destroyed. She was, I don't know if she was putting her makeup on. I don't know what she was doing, but she did something and she got too close and she learned her lesson. Nothing happened to my truck.
That's what people don't realize.
She even hit my tires. Nothing happened to my tires. And her car was, the whole front end was just caved in. And they don't know how dangerous these trucks are, how heavy you are, And
that's it.
Until it's too late for them, And the way they drive, man, it's we have to watch out for them constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly.
You do.
You know, they don't watch out for themselves, man. Like, come on, man.
That's the sad part, is they're not even paying attention for themselves.
No, they're not.
For them, we have to anticipate. As a driver, as a professional driver, everything is on you. Everybody's looking at you and saying, well, it's all your fault. And the reason is because the trucking companies have the deep pockets.
Yep, that is. That's what it is. It
boils down to.
Yeah.
It's a shame because it's made everybody irresponsible for themselves. They don't have to be responsible for themselves.
Exactly.
Somebody else will pay.
And most companies say, all right, here's $100,000, go away.
Yeah,
they don't even want to go to work.
To get rid of it, right.
It's their fault or not.
And also blame like the DMV, the Department of Transport, like, you know, vehicles. When you check your driver license in California, your CDL, we got to take like over 100 questions. You got to take a physical. You got to do all kinds of tests, you know. And on the driving test, on a Class C license, you just only need like 20 questions to ask, and that is it.
Yep.
And none of those questions, none of those questions are related to how you should act or be around big trucks. Yeah, I think they should take a separate test for that, for a Class C license, driver license.
Yeah.
How to act or what to do or not do around a big truck.
And you only have to take your driving test one time when you're 16 years old. And then for the next 60, 70 years, you can be an a-hole on the road with no consequence.
Exactly.
We got to constantly learn stuff and get
recertifications and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. Recertification. We have to do our medical physical for our license every 2 years. Not as if you take medication, high blood pressure, whatever, it's every year. But it's every 2 years. And, Class C license, they don't have to take their physical, and you know, they're probably not even good to drive, and you know, healthy enough to drive, and they don't take their physical. We have to take our physical all the time, like you say. We have to learn different rules, different lanes. Then we got to do our test every 4 or 5 years.
Hazmat test and all.
Yeah, and your hazmat year every year. If you have hazmat in California, it's every year.
Oh, wow, every year.
Yeah, every year.
Wow.
Your hazmat. It's every year for your hazmat. And so another thing too, if you get a ticket, speeding ticket or anything, there's no traffic school allowed for truck drivers in California. You can't go to traffic school to erase that point off your record or anything. Okay. And if you have a Class C license, you could get a ticket once a month and go to traffic school and clear it off. you're not eligible for traffic school. You get traffic, it stays on your record for 3-4 years, whatever it is, but you're not eligible for traffic school. So they won't let you do traffic school out here.
I imagine that's because they consider you a professional driver.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Your profession. If only they had that same rule for everybody else in their respective professions, you know. If you're a financial guy and you embezzle money, you know, you can't get that reduced. You're probably not going to, because, you know, money.
I always said that the people
that
are
looking at you because of anything specific.
But the people who make up all the rules, like in the safety department or they put these cameras. Yeah. I want a little buzzer every time they make a keystroke on their keyboard wrong.
Right.
If they do away with all these bells and whistles.
Every time they get up and walk away, you know, go take a pee break or whatever, you know.
You're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Please mind your lane.
Yeah.
Mind your keys.
Yeah. It's true, man. It's true.
It is. Yeah. Why is it that way in this industry? Everybody who wants to be a boss, and I've noticed this in almost everywhere, no matter where it's at, if they're a supervisor or a boss, they've never driven a truck.
Nope, never.
Right. And they're working in the logistics company side of things, you know, and they don't do one thing logical.
Yeah. It's true, man. It shouldn't bother me that much, but that stuff does bother me. Like, like some guys, like I keep saying, like, you know, guys that never been in a truck in their damn lives.
Yeah.
But they're telling you how to drive, how to do your job.
Yep.
If they don't know, if they've never done it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing this for 32 years. I don't know. I think I know pretty much everything I need to know at this point. And these guys that never been in a truck before, and they're telling me how to do my job.
Yes.
How to do it the safe way.
Some of these supervisors, I have more miles backing up than they have driving since they got their driver's license.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they're sitting there behind a desk trying to tell you how to do your job safely. Yes. You know, am I the only one that sees that something wrong with that picture? You know,
like nope.
that
doesn't make five sense. Words. Yeah. Five yeah. words. Take a ride with me.
Yeah, yeah. and it's like every time I see stuff like that, it just drives me crazy. My wife, she's not a truck driver, and she understands. Her family, her dad, and her cousins, and everybody in her around her life are truck drivers. So is my family. So she's never driven a truck, but she's so cautious. When truck drivers, she's courteous to truck drivers. If they want to jump the lane, she gives them the pass. Or, you know, she does that with truck drivers because she's been around trucks her whole life. Like, you know, her husband and her dad and her cousins and stuff. So when you see her driving the freeway, she's courteous to truck drivers. And I tell her, you got to do that.
Yeah.
Because, they're tired. They want to get their job done. And, and they're dangerous. You know, they can't stop. Like the way you guys will stop.
That's right.
In a car. And I go, they're dangerous. And I go, you have my daughters in a truck, in a car, you know, that thing gets a hold of you, man. You know, it's not going to let you go.
Right.
You know, there's going to be some damage done.
Yeah. Yep.
So she's really good at being around trucks. I don't hang around the trucks. Pass some movie thing. Make sure you're there. Don't try to come up on them and surprise them. Because, there's a lot of blind spots. They can't see. We can't see where you're coming from. If you hang in that blind spot for a long time, you can see in the mirror someone's coming. They might get on our blind side, but we know they're going to exit our blind side eventually.
That's right.
But if you just go in there and just hang there, we can't see you. We don't know if you exited or you didn't,
Yeah,
you're there.
You change lanes, one lane over.
We don't know. I go, so don't hang around the truck, man.
Yep.
I don't know. It's in the summertime. I've seen some guys like in the summertime when it's the sun's beating high. I see some of these little four wheelers. They'll get next to me where my truck's making shade for them. Right. And they're just riding next to me.
Sat there.
Like, you know how dangerous that is?
Yep.
Exactly. That's super dangerous, man.
Oh, like, taking the tire going boom and
yeah, you're worried about a little sunburn there. Like a little sunburn, nothing's gonna happen if this truck gets a hold of you. They could rear off to a little bit, come under my axles. My drag axle grabs them.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it. They're done.
Or a tire blows.
Yeah, or a tire. Exactly, oh, tire blows.
Those things. That's like, it. I'm going off. Those things throw shrapnel everywhere.
Oh yeah, this thing break the windshields, tear up cars. It tears up our fenders and our trucks. Imagine if it hit one of those.
Yeah.
Aluminum cars.
Exactly.
They're dangerous.
They're very
dangerous. Motorcycles do that too. They'll come up behind you, and then they'll get that wind tunnel action. Then they'll get around you and they speed up.
Yeah.
And I've seen some terrible accidents where the back axle grabs them. There's nothing left afterwards.
Yeah.
It's dangerous, man.
Yeah.
And they don't. Yeah. You see it time and time again, and people just don't. I think, and I go back to I blame it on DMV. They don't get educated. They need to be educated on that stuff.
Yes.
Like, well, we're educated of what to do, what not to do.
Right.
These guys are not educated for the danger of these trucks.
Yep. And we can only share that information with so many people. I mean, we only have so many people in our lives. When we try and, we share that with our wives, our kids, and we teach them how to drive and that type of stuff. But, I can't share it with everybody around me.
Yeah, exactly.
3.5 million truck drivers in the United States, and there's 340 million people. I mean, I have to know a lot of people in order to share it with.
But it's not our job to. It's not our job to train these people how to be around this. And I think that's the government that makes the rules for us. They should make the rules for them and teach them. And teach them how it is. And I think that would be that would make a big difference.
I honestly think the driving course should be a two-part test. One should be a classroom, a simulator, and the other should be on the road. Yep. And in the simulator, you can have them come up on a truck on the side of them and a tire blow out on the truck. And see what they're going to do. Yeah. I mean, nobody's injured at that point in the game, but I'm sure you'd
be
scaring the crap out of somebody there because again. But it does happen.
It happens.
Oh yeah, Shipper. That's a good thing. That's something that somebody should look into and have that done. We do have that.
Shipper for president.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you, Shipper. I think somebody should get that ball rolling there because
I agree
that there's technologies out there. That is.
They're sitting at home playing the Xbox now.
Yeah, they have it. And they sell the little streaming, the little break. They sell all that stuff. And now, like, I'm a gamer as well. I'm a gamer as well. I play Call of Duty. Right. Shout out to my clan, Shattered Image. I just want to throw that out there, my clan. But I'm a gamer as well. And I'm the clan leader in the game I play. And like you said, these things that the streaming stuff like that, like your controllers and your headset that we wear, like you see behind me, they have my gaming monitor back there. But the controllers in your head monitor, they vibrate and they in the ring a certain area. It depends, like, if you're getting shot from your right hand side, or like you could hear it vibrating or ring from your right ear, and then your controller vibrates when you blow something up or whatever. So they could do the same thing with like the steering wheels itself for driving the cars. And teach people how to drive. So if they get hit, they can feel the steering wheel shake, or make now, or put the headset where they can know where the damage is coming from. If they could do that, they could have these training people, like, you got too close to a truck and you're vibrating.
Yeah, I think that
in the real world, you probably would have been seriously hurt, injured, or even worse, you know, fatal accident there.
They need it.
So I think it's a good idea.
I was in a virtual truck accident.
I was in a virtual truck.
Then there's virtual Hugh Cheatham and Howe attorney offices.
We got a virtual court. But that's a good way to, at least to teach them, because you know you're not going to get them in a real truck or nothing. You know, to try like.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. You want to roll that dice? You want to dance? You're only going to get one shot at it.
Yes.
Yeah, one shot at it. And that's it. And that could be your last one, man. So it's true. And that's a good thing you brought that up. I think that with your guys' podcast, I think hopefully somebody will listen and some of those pencil pushers will push that. And I think it will be a good thing for everybody else. You know, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you have enough people saying that, the right person will listen to it. And maybe it happen.
It would be nice.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, then like us, we're getting older. We're going to be out of the game soon. But these new truck drivers nowadays, so it make their life a little bit easier. More easier than they already have it, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Now they have air ride seats and everything, so maybe a little bit easier for them. But you know, it would be nice to leave this world, leave it in a better place now than I got it. Or the industry, leave it in a better place than I inherited it through the old guys that were trying
and the thing that it really should be the driving force behind that is that we live in 2024.
Yeah.
This is not 1924. We literally have the technology to do these things. We literally can do this stuff.
Yep.
Don't. You know, it's like, why? Why are we?
It costs money.
But I'd rather, which is cheaper? You know what I mean? Like to take care of this, or for companies to keep dumping money out.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. As long as they go on Amazon and they hit their what they want and they order it and it's delivered on Prime the next day, they really don't care. They don't care how it got from A to B.
No, they don't.
And how many trucks it had to be in.
But it's
there. And they're calling if it's not delivered at 3:02 a.m.
It's not a question of whether they care. It's whether or not the government says from now on, this is how we're teaching people to drive cars.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be part of the required stuff you got to do to drive.
They're just waiting for required reading.
It's the only way it's ever going to happen is if the government comes along and says, this is the way it has. We have got to teach people how to drive around these big trucks. We cannot just rely on big trucks to be responsible to try and figure out what people are going to do.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened in my accident was, how am I supposed to know this guy wants to be in the right-hand lane and turn left across in front of me? How am I supposed to know he's going to do that?
Yeah.
I'm not clairvoyant. This is not the your friend's network where you're, you know, calling to get, you know, what you're, you know, what's the guy in front of you going to do?
Psychic
friends network. That's the, thank you, sir. I don't know Dionne Warwick. So.
Or Cleo.
Or Cleo. Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo. You know, that's the thing is that these are things that in 2024 should be no-brainers and we should be able to handle this stuff. And we don't.
Common sense ain't real common.
It's not. But even the technologies are here.
Yep.
You know, it's like I say, you know, with our own safety meetings at work. It's like, why am I coming in early for a safety meeting that could be recorded and put on a video every month, and I can watch it at my leisure, and I don't have to lose sleep.
Or you can watch it while you're waiting at your relay.
Or I can watch it in the middle of the night while I'm waiting at a relay, or at, you know, at a terminal waiting for freight, whatever it is. This is, why do we not use modern technology? I mean, we're using enough modern technology nowadays where we're actually looking at having tractor trailers that don't have drivers. We're willing to do that, but we're not willing to do the things that are really within our within the ability. We're just not like it, you need to work this out and figure out how to do it. We know how to do it.
Yep.
People to vote.
Getting people to just step up, and it's getting the government to get out of its own way. You know, and you get anyway. That's my. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Hey, I agree with you 100%. I agree with your when I agree with that, exactly everything you said. And I agreed. I heard your shows before where that it's just going to take these trucks with all these cameras on it that will no driver in them.
Yep.
They're not going to. They might work for a little bit, but
at some point
it's going to be. Some people are going to get really hurt really bad.
Well, it's not. They can't do it in cars. I agree. Yeah. Mentioned before, I own a Tesla. Right now, they're doing full self driving.
It's
crap out of me. And it's a car. How are you going to get 18-wheeler, 80,000 pounds to do that? And if there's a solar flare, they lose cellular or connection to the truck. Now what does it do? Just
what's it do? It's gonna plow in somebody. It's gonna wipe out families, man. It's gonna wipe out people.
Drive around them on the interstate.
There's no way that's gonna happen in my lifetime.
How is this computers or these cameras, whatever, how are they gonna detect, like, you guys are truck drivers, you guys know the truck drives differently when you're empty and when you're loaded. Or the weather condition, we drive the truck accordingly, the weather and our weight we have on our truck.
Yes.
Yes.
So these computer stuff, driving these trucks, whether it's cameras or whatever.
I think they can get
programmed by weight or condition or whatever.
Yeah. I think
how is he going to know exactly, like, okay, it's icy or it's raining and I got 20,000 pounds or I'm empty or I got some load in the back or in the front, or because the truck drives different.
Yep.
When it depends on the weight you have on and how
you get around all that. What they can't get around is all the other idiots on the road.
Yeah, right?
They can't read their mind.
If the computer can't predict what the other a-hole's doing, how do they expect us as drivers to predict what the other a-hole is doing?
And the thing is, human beings are unpredictable.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's too many variables.
If every car was autonomous and they could talk to each other, and it would probably work fine.
If they were all autonomous and there was no self-driving, no people driving themselves, but all vehicles were then you can, because they would know what each other's doing.
Yeah, and then we would have flying cars by now because we'd be doing, George Jetsons.
Yeah, the Jetsons, what would happen if, like you said, Brian, what would happen if, like, there's a malfunction that it loses signal?
Yes.
Then what?
Exactly. Yep.
You're that screwed. Doesn't happen.
I know.
No.
So and then you're going to have, you know,
we still
100 cars just
we can't going get airport service on exactly. 80.
And the thing is that really what we have right now is we have Jetson's technology and Flintstone's mindset.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where we are, where we're living in, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody's out for themselves. We can do all this cool stuff, but. Nobody knows how to use it.
All these 22-year-old truck drivers are going, Flintstones, Jetsons.
What's Flintstones? Yeah.
What is it?
Google them.
What is that?
I'm just waiting for, you know, Freddie Jones to step up and pull the mask off and say, look, Scooby, look who it is.
Yeah.
Now there we go, another 1969 reference.
Google up Cartoon Network.
Exactly.
Who's going to empty out these trucks?
Exactly.
Self-driving.
Exactly. Who's going to deliver?
Who's going to do that?
Yep. Who's going to do the P&D deliveries?
Exactly. Yeah. Who's going to be doing that?
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
That would be nice to see. Well, who's going to do that?
That'll be well after my time.
Yeah. Mine too, it's like somebody has to unload that ship, your cargo off or whatever, or can load it.
I literally just read an article about this company Aurora out in Pittsburgh that's making these autonomous that's trying to get these autonomous trucks. They pushed it off now for another year, 2025,
because they can't.
They're having a problem with it. So,
yeah. I saw one of the truck stops out here. I saw a truck that had like 50 cameras all the way around it.
Right.
It was parked, but I'm assuming it was one of those trucks that drives by themselves.
I would imagine.
Right. And exactly. I'm like, you better get out of here before it starts moving on its own, man. I don't want to be in there. Imagine
that car just starts. Microwave, the truck starts driving.
You know what? Maybe that time when I heard that my friend's voice is calling me to see me, maybe it was maybe one of those trucks out there.
Exactly.
Doing his own talking on the CB.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the early technology, man. They didn't tell me about it.
That's there.
But yeah, but imagine how creepy that is if you're parked right next to those trucks and it just starts moving by itself.
Exactly.
Even though you know that's what it's supposed to do.
Right,
because the counter and stuff, but just the sight of it is kind of creepy.
It is. Oh? When you don't see a person sitting behind that wheel,
yeah,
weird.
That is kind of creepy. I think.
Yep.
I've never seen a Tesla.
That's what we called ghost riding.
Well, I see like videos of Teslas, you know, parking themselves and stuff like that on parking lots and stuff like that, and that looks kind of creepy a little bit. But imagine an 80,000-pound vehicle going 55 miles an hour on the freeway next to you that has no passenger in it. I mean, no driver in it.
That's the scary thing.
That's scary. That
weighs 80,000 pounds going down the road without anybody there to intervene if something goes wrong.
Yeah,
who's connected? Yeah. You know,
if something malfunctions, who's going to stop that thing?
Exactly.
That's a scary thought. Especially if my family's like half a mile ahead of that truck.
Yep.
And their own personal car.
Concern. Yeah.
Knowing my daughters and my wife are in that freeway or loved ones.
Yes,
that's why it'll never happen. No senator or congressman is going to sign off on that, knowing that they're going to come back to them. The first school bus full of kids it kills, they're going to come back and say, "Why did you approve this?"
And you'll never vote it into office again.
No,
and I hate to say this, but that's what's going to take to stop that nonsense. That's the only thing that's going to stop it. And I hope it doesn't get to that point, but that's the only thing that it's going to take for these guys to really open their eyes and stop playing with people's lives like that.
Other option, option B, would be one of those driverless vehicles just drives through Washington, D.C. Just drive it right through.
Sort of. Yeah. You mean crashes through Washington, D.C.
Capitol, whatever. Yeah. Just driving through. I got a delivery at the mall. The National Mall, it says.
Yes, sir. Emilio, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much
for coming
on. And hang on. After we sign off, just hang on with us for a few seconds.
Okay.
So we can, chit-chat for a few minutes. But we just want to say thank you so much for coming on. We had a blast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys are awesome. Like, I love you guys' show.
And there's one person in California likes me.
Hey, I love you guys. I love you. I love you, Shipper, man. You're great, man. I love all you guys. You guys are great, right? I look forward every week to listening to you guys. You guys have the same mindset like I do. Like, we think like a bunch of all this stuff, the truck driver stuff. So, I love listening to you guys. I love listening to your son Tony's podcast. I listen to him all the time too. Yeah. And he's a great guy, and I'm into cryptids and all that conspiracy stuff myself. So I love all that stuff too. But yeah, you guys keep it doing an awesome job. Keep it up, man. And I hope you guys continue for a long time. It's just
I think
you guys put light, even though we joke around and everything, but there's a lot of things that are really do important and that's going on right now that you guys, we touched on that, and that hopefully somebody opens somebody's eyes on that and see it, because I think it's very important, and I think you guys are the platforms to do that, and eventually somebody's going to listen, and I hope so, and I think you guys are doing a great job for that, and you guys keep it up, man. And like I said, thanks for having me. You guys are awesome, and everybody over here loves you, Chipper, so don't worry about that. you're good, man. And I think that you brought, a lot.
East Coast, West Coast thing.
You guys are great,
Everybody
man.
Like, East Coast, maybe because I go to West Coast now.
Yeah. You guys are great, man. And hopefully I'll get to meet you guys someday, man. And,
that'd be awesome,
dude. And have a coffee or something with you guys. You guys are awesome, man.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
We really appreciate
it. And I'll talk to you guys later there, but I'll stick around.
All right. Well,
with that,
we hope everybody enjoyed the show. We enjoyed ourselves. We know Emilio enjoyed himself. We hope everybody else has enjoyed this show. And if they enjoyed the show, Mike, what can they do?
Share the show.
Share it.
Share the show with their fellow California raisins.
Hey, man. That's fantastic. Share the show. Well, with all that being said,
keep the hammer down and hammer laying.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Time. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.